So it turns out I am actually pretty bad at friendship. And I am realizing this in the same way that I've heard people describe realizing that they're colorblind and they didn't know for like years, right? And they find out and they feel totally blindsided. That's how I feel right now. I feel totally caught unawares and totally confused. I didn't realize that I struggled with friendship this much. But I feel like I just had sort of an epiphany recently and I was like, oh shit, I have very few friends that I've kept for more than like a year maximum.
Hello there, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, and welcome to the NeuroCuriosity Club podcast, the only podcast that I'm aware of that is specifically made for people who are questioning their neurotype and their place in the neurodiversity paradigm. My name is Megan. I am ADHD, so I'm autistic and ADHD, but this podcast is going to be about so much more than that. Yes, there are going to be lots of autism and ADHD episodes because that's my lived experience. That's what I can speak to. But I also plan on having so many amazing guests on this podcast to talk about everything from dyspraxia to OCD to bipolar disorder to dyscalculia and more. So if you are curious about your brain, get ready to dive in. Welcome to the NeuroCuriosity Club podcast.
Hello, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, and welcome back to another episode of the NeuroCuriosity Club podcast. And today we're talking all things friendship because it turns out I'm not as good at it as I thought I was. So one of the sort of hallmarks, cornerstones of autism is that we tend to have a lot of social differences, social difficulties, social disabilities, right? And this is one reason that for the longest time I thought I couldn't be autistic because like I have friends. I'm in a very stable marriage. Like I don't know. The media doesn't portray autistic people as being able to maintain those kinds of relationships or even being able to get into them in the first place. So I thought, okay, I couldn't possibly be autistic. But something I am realizing recently is, yes, I have a couple of really core key relationships in my life, and I'm very grateful for those. And I know lots of autistic people do struggle to maintain that, and I understand, and I don't want to dismiss that in any way. And I struggle in different ways. I struggle with other friendships, especially friendships that I've tried to make as an adult. Like lots of friendships throughout my life have fallen apart, but I can sort of attribute that to like our lives just growing in different directions. You know, like friends that you make in junior high, you might not keep in high school as you enter into different clubs and sports and eras of your life. And then friends you make in college, you know, you graduate, everybody gets jobs, you spread out and you just don't stay in touch with everybody. So like that, I always just attributed that to circumstance, not to me or any kind of social disability. But now that I'm a grown up, making friends, I think, is just hard as a grown-up in general, as an adult. I should say adult, not grown-up. Makes me sound like I'm 12, but whatever. I feel like I'm 12. I'm a 12-year-old stuck in a 30-year-old body, which is very confusing. Anyway, I think as an adult, it can be really hard to make friends in general. Our society really isn't set up for it. This is late-stage capitalism. It's meant to divide us as profoundly as possible. And so there's that. Again, not attributed to my autism. But I have had some scenarios where I've actually had the chance to make really good friends. And I thought that I did. Granted, they were internet friends, but I don't know. Everyone tells you internet friends are just as real as in-person friends. And I took that seriously. And I just assumed that we were really, really close, you know? And then, like, we just stopped talking. And I don't understand. I'm sure it's something I did, but I don't know what I did, if that makes sense. And if you're listening to this and you're like wondering if I'm talking about you, I am and I'm not, because it's not just you. This happens to me again and again and again. Like this has not just happened once or twice. Like this is a recurring theme for me. I make really good friends. We talk all the time. We hang out. We seem really close. And then the next thing I know, they just like aren't responding to my messages and I feel really clingy and needy. And I'm like, okay, which then sends me into like kind of some rage because, and this is where I get kind of vulnerable. I apologize, but I deal with a lot of like struggles with how I perceive other people and how I perceive me and how I perceive our relationship. And so when, like, let me give an example that's a little less vulnerable because friends who have like kind of ghosted me, like that feels really vulnerable to me. So I'm going to set that on the back burner for now. And I'm going to give the example of my husband because that's less vulnerable because he's here. He loves me. He's not going anywhere. So it's easier for me to talk about it. So with my husband, sometimes he will do something, say something, and it makes me angry and upset because he's a human and I'm a human. And that's what human relationships are like. And I know that in the back of my head, okay? I know that that's just what human relationships are like. They involve rupture and repair. But I am so afraid of my anger that I can't handle it. And so it grows and grows and grows and becomes like disproportionate to whatever it was that was said or whatever it was that happened, right? And I become like a little rage monster, but I'm terrified to express that rage. So instead, I just like sit on it like it's a ticking time bomb, which I know is like, sounds like the healthiest relationship dynamic in the world, right? Like no wonder Megan doesn't have friends. But I try so hard not to hurt people with my feelings because I feel like my feelings are bad and I feel like my feelings are going to hurt people. And so I try not to express them. But then by not expressing them, I'm cutting off vulnerability. I'm cutting off connection. And therefore, that kind of ends the relationship a lot of times. So I have a feeling that's probably what's happening in my friendships. Now, with my husband, we are getting to a point, thanks to a lot of therapy for me and a lot of talking with my husband, we are getting to a point where when this happens, I walk away because I can't express it in the moment yet. I'm not to that point in my healing journey yet. But I walk away and then later, I usually text him about it because we were long distance for a long time. So we communicated via text for years. So that feels a little more comfy for me a lot of times. So I'll text him like, hey, this really hurt my feelings and I'm very angry about it right now. Like, I'm sorry I didn't say something face to face, but like, this is the best way I can communicate. Can we do something about this, please? You know, and this just happened like a week or two ago. And my husband is so gracious and he always like when he gets my text, he either texts me back or he calls me. He's like, hey, I know, like I'm here for you. Your feelings are safe with me. Like, God bless this man. Okay. He's the best. But anyway, I'm getting off track. But what I wanted to express is that sometimes when my feelings get hurt, I turn into a rage monster. Okay, I get really angry and my fear of that anger makes it bigger and also makes it even harder to express. And so then I sometimes get like passive aggressive and I try really hard not to be, but I know that this is something I struggle with. And I worry that that's a big reason why like my relationships don't work out. But I also wonder if some of my friendships have fallen apart because I tend to be a little direct, which is a very classic autism friendship problem. I tend to be very direct about like my opinions on things. Like on this podcast, I was just saying like, oh, well, that's late stage capitalism. It divorces us from each other and like make sure we're as separate as possible. Like I present my opinions as facts sometimes. And this is something I learned growing up. And it's not something I like. I think there's a difference between being direct about how you feel and pretending that the way you feel is a fact everyone should accept, you know? And I'm actually just now, as I'm talking this out, realizing that this is a problem for me. Because I hated this growing up. Like there were people around me who would just tell me their opinions, but they would say it as if it was fact. And I was autistic, so I couldn't tell that it was really an opinion. So I just assumed that these people were correct in everything that they said. And when I left home and met other people and got other people's opinions, and I met people who expressed opinions and not as facts, my mind was blown, you guys. So the whole world opened up to me. And the last thing I want to do is present such like a closed-minded point of view where like my opinion is fact. And I think maybe I do that in my friendships, and I'm just now realizing that. And I'm realizing that might be a big reason that they don't continue. Okay. Megan's having epiphanies live on the podcast.
Hi there. I am interrupting your podcast episode super, super quickly just to let you know that if you want more than just the podcast, if you want to actually talk to me, that is an option. I have something called a discovery call. This is for people who, you know, you're not sure if you want to actually like commit to working with me long term, but you kind of want to learn more. And maybe you have some questions about your brain that, you know, I might be able to help you answer. And that's what the discovery call is for. It is $15 for a half hour call. That $15 is really just to help ensure that people actually show up when they were free. I had a lot of no-shows, which is really hard on my autistic brain with the change of plans last second and everything. So that's all the $15 is for, is just a little incentive to keep your appointment. And I would love, love, love to talk to some of you amazing podcast listeners. So if you're interested, the link is in the show notes, and I'll let you get back to your episode.
Okay. So I've processed that a little bit. And now I want to move forward saying that it's okay if you struggle with friendships. It's okay if you struggle with being passive aggressive. It's okay if you struggle with presenting your opinions as facts. It's okay to have a hard time making friends, keeping friends, sustaining and nurturing friendship relationships. Like, it's okay. And it's okay for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you're autistic like me, you have a social disability, okay? A big part of autism is struggling with reading social cues, knowing what to do about social cues, and even being aware of the social cues we are putting out to others, right? So that totally makes sense that you struggle with it. It's very logical. It makes sense. And I also think, even if you're not autistic and you're listening to this and you're like, I kind of relate to this though, that might be because our society, again, late stage capitalism, divorcing us from each other, making us very isolated and hyper individualistic. In my opinion, I should say, I think that this is a big factor. And I feel like there's probably research to back me up, but I don't know that for sure. So I should present this as an opinion. In my opinion, I think late stage capitalism benefits a lot from us being very, very isolated. And really, really focusing on the nuclear family, right? Like people in your immediate family, not even grandparents, not aunts and uncles, not friends, not acquaintances, not coworkers. Really, really trying to make it seem like the only people you can lean on and rely on is like your partner or partners or, you know, your parents. And like, that's it. Those are the only people you should have in your life. And so there's this whole culture that's kind of saying, saying that friendships aren't as important. You need to be putting most of your energy for relationships into a romantic relationship or into a familial relationship. And friendships, platonic love, is so overlooked. And I think this is another reason it's frustrating and hard and sad for me when I lose a friend, because I really love my friends. Like, platonic love is so real for me. Like, I love them so much, and I think about them all the time, and I want to get them gifts, and I do get them gifts because gift giving is just a way I tend to express love, and it's not reciprocated. And in fact, all of my love seems to push them away. And I'm realizing as I say this out loud, this might be some anxious attachment bullshit where I'm trying to force them to give me love by showering them in love. You know, like, oh, if I give you gifts and if I tell you how much I love you and if I'm really overt with my love, then you'll feel more comfortable giving it back to me. But that's not fair. I have to let people move at their own pace and express love in their way. And this is hard, but like, I also need to accept that some friends are friends. They are acquaintances. They are buddies, but they don't love me. And that's weird for me to say. I don't know, because I just get very excited about people. I get very attached to people very easily. Again, I sound very anxiously attached right now, even though I usually more identify with a disorganized attachment. But I sound very anxiously attached at the moment, and I appreciate that. I get that. But yeah, maybe we'll change the title of this episode. I was planning on calling it like Autism Friendship Struggles or something, but maybe it really needs to be called like Autism, Attachment Trauma, and Friendship, because I wonder if my attachment, because my therapist the other day was like, yeah, you have some pretty severe attachment wounds and we can work on healing those. It's going to be okay. And I was like, thank you. So that's clearly playing a big role here that I didn't realize until I started talking it out with you guys. So thank you for helping me process some feelings. I hope that this is helpful for you to listen to and to recognize that you're not alone if you struggle with friendship. You're not alone if you struggle with attachment, and these things aren't things to be ashamed of. You know, we talk a lot about like, oh, anxiously attached, like so clingy, embarrassing. And it's like, why are we shaming people for the ways that they survive their pain, right? Like attachment wounds are so real and they hurt and they last a long time. Like they will last until you actively heal them. They do not go away on their own, at least in my experience. And I don't want you to feel ashamed of struggling with this, because I struggle too, like hard, and I don't think I'm alone. I wish I was, in a way. I mean, obviously no one wants to be alone, but like, I wish other people didn't struggle with this, but I have a very strong feeling that some of you listening are going to be like, oh shit, I thought it was just my autism, or I thought it was just my attachment trauma. Turns out it's the way the two marry together that creates such a difficult dynamic for us. And I think, I could be wrong about this. This is purely opinion based on zero research, okay? This is just based on my lived experience, so take it with a grain of salt. I wonder if autistic folks are more prone to attachment wounds, because our caregivers have a hard time attaching to us because they don't understand our autistic brain. Even if they are autistic themselves and just don't know, they still might struggle to attach to us because they were trained so hard to not act autistic that when we start acting autistic, they start distancing themselves from us. Does that make sense? So like, sometimes people are like, oh, well, my parent is clearly autistic too. Like, why didn't they attach to me better? And it's probably because they were trained to, you know, act less autistic, to be less autistic. And therefore, when they see autistic traits, they distance themselves, even when it's in their own kid. Anyway, totally just a theory, totally just like a little brain thought that Megan had, not anything official, so don't take it as such. But I do wonder. I wonder about that for sure, and that's something I'm probably going to do a deep dive in Google on later, because now I'm curious. Anyway, I hope this episode was helpful. I hope that if you're struggling with friendships, just know that it's okay. We're going to find our people, and I'm lucky. I do have my people. I'm bad at gaining new people, and it's okay. It's okay. I think there's a lot of power in recognizing that we are good enough by ourselves, and our lives can be vastly improved and be made happier through the inclusion of people we love. So both of those things can be true. You are good enough. You don't need other people to make yourself whole. But at the same time, it's okay to want people, you know? Okay. Thank you for listening to my ramblings on friendship. I hope this was helpful, and I will talk to you all again next Saturday. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really hope that you enjoyed it. If you did, I would so appreciate it if you would leave a review or a rating or whatever it is that you can do on the platform you're listening on. It really helps get the podcast out to other people who need to hear it. So again, thank you for listening. Thank you for the review if you decide to leave one, and I will see you next time.